Good morning, Promised Land. How are y'all this morning? Y'all are awake. Y'all, give our band another hand. Wasn't that awesome? We have an amazing worship team. Y'all got it good. I've gone to some places and like, ooh. But we are so blessed to have our team. I'm Pastor Will. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Promised Land. Our senior pastor, Pastor Robin, is on a sabbatical with his family, and so let's just pray over them. Keep them in your prayer as they go. They're traveling all over the country, going to the Grand Canyon and all kinds of cool other places. But let's pray for them that they just get rejuvenated and just their batteries are recharged and they just have a safe trip. So keep your pastor in your prayers. I also want to welcome all of our online folks. We love that you join us online. There's some of y'all that couldn't make it today to the house, but you're still at home, and we're gonna get into the Word. So let's give all of our online folks a hand this morning. And so we're continuing our sermon series called Promised Land at the Movies. And who was here for last Sunday's message? Wasn't that a great message? It was so good. Pastor Robin preached on a Tommy Boy, and he comes out, if you weren't here, you got to watch it online, but he comes out in this tiny little jacket, and I don't know if you know this, but our pastor's got some big muscles, and he like ripped that jacket, and it was just so awesome. So if you didn't see that, you got to check it out. It's so fun. But I chose a different kind of movie, and this is one of my favorite movies that I've ever seen. It's called The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Anybody seen that movie in here? Okay, four people have seen that movie. Okay, a couple of you have seen the movie. It's a great movie. It came out in 2013, and it's about a guy named Walter Mitty, and this guy is so shy and so fearful. He struggles to live life well. He's so fearful of situations. He pretty much works, but that's the only thing he does is he works. He goes to work, and he comes home every day, and just he doesn't do anything. He's so fearful, he even imagines that he does things. He daydreams about everything. So he works for Time Life magazine, and he processes like millions of photographs from adventurous photographers. They're all sending in their photographs to Life magazine, and Walter Mitty, he processes them, and there's like photos that he processes where they're in war zones and they're doing adventurous things, and these photographers are like in dangerous situations. And so Walter Mitty, he daydreams about things. He wants to do those things, but he's too fearful. And there's this lady that he works with named Cheryl, and he's got a huge crush on her. And instead of going up and talking to her, he stalks her on eHarmony.com. And there's one scene where he spends like 5 minutes thinking about like sending a wink towards her. I've never been on eHarmony. But he spends like 5 minutes deciding whether or not he's going to send a wink to her. And then when he finally builds up enough courage, like the page breaks. And it doesn't work. And so I want to show you a scene on just kind of give you a feel for who Walter Mitty is. Check this out.
Hi, Todd Mahar, eHarmony. How can I help you today?
Hi, I can't seem to leave a wink for someone. I don't know, is my page broken? Do I maybe have a broken page or?
I've never heard of that, but okay. You're trying to use your eHarmony account for the first time?
I am.
Okay, I'm looking at your profile. We have a pretty intricate matching algorithm. That's what distinguishes us from other online dating services.
Yeah, I like that. Actually, I'm just trying to leave a wink for one person, Cheryl Melhoff. She started in my division at work about a month ago, and I overheard her near the bagel saying she was on your site.
Okay, that's unique. But let me ask you, you left a lot of this stuff, like the been there, done that section. You left it blank.
Yeah, I think I skipped it.
Okay, you've got to help me out here, man. Don't skip stuff.
Okay, well, I haven't really been anywhere noteworthy or mentionable.
Have you done anything noteworthy, mentionable? Hello? You still there?
Can you hang on a second?
Go! Get out! She's gonna blow! Go! parking. Thought I smelled gas.
Oh, I hope it's okay. I engineered a prosthesis for Chips while I was sprinting down the stairwell. Little hip joint assembly with a drop ring lock and an anterior pelvic band.
God, you're noteworthy.
I just live by the ABCs. Adventurous, brave, creative.
That's everything I want in a man.
My man. Hey, my man, you still there?
Hey.
What, did you pass out, or...?
No, I just, like, zoned out for a second.
Oh, okay. Do you do that a lot?
It's really a great movie, but I so can relate to Walter Mitty. I grew up a very shy person, a very fearful person. I was the guy that just wouldn't talk to anybody. I was so fearful. I'm still that way. I'm an introvert. Do we have any introverts in the house? You're not introverts. You raise your hand. Real introverts kept their hands closed. But, you know, this movie is about a fearful person. And I really can relate to Walter Mitty, but it's about someone who's ruled by fear. It's someone who is alive but not really living. And I think this movie resonates with us. It resonates with shy, fearful people. It resonates with people who are introverted. And I want to talk about fear for a little bit. I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about fear. The definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. And there's all kinds of different fears. There is a healthy fear. A healthy fear is that you don't step out into traffic. That's a healthy fear. A healthy fear is you don't jump off a building because you know something's going to happen. But there's other kinds of fears. There's fears that hold us captive, that keep us from stepping out and doing what we need to do. There's a fear of failure. There's people that don't try or don't put themselves out there because they're afraid to fail. There's fear of rejection, and that's where a big amount of fear comes from people, is we don't want to be rejected by people, so we're fearful. There's a fear of embarrassment. How many of y'all are afraid of being embarrassed? Yes. Nobody wants to be embarrassed, and so sometimes we don't talk or we don't say things, and we're really not who we want to be because we're fearful for being embarrassed. There's a fear of, you know, of being last, a fear of going broke, a fear of getting cancer or getting older. That is a huge fear. There's billions of dollars spent every year for people who spend tons of money. They get shots in their face, they get fake hair put on, fake teeth put on, they get all this stuff because they're so fearful of being old. And there's a fear of losing control. There's people who cannot be a passenger in a car because they're not in control. They want to be in control. And if you're with a fearful person like that, is no fun. Watch out for that. Oh, here's a car up there. There's a car. I was like, I know, I'm driving. I have a person that like that in my life that drives with me. But I've given reasons to be fearful sometimes, so I'll be honest. So. But I also have, one of my fears is I'm about to send my 18-year-old daughter off to college. Y'all, that's big. That's Isabel right there, my beautiful Isabel. But I'm fearful. It's like, God, have we showed her how to walk with you? God, have we invested enough time in her? Does she know how to change a tire? Does she know how to do this? What if this happened? And fear just starts to creep in. I'm like, oh my God, help me. I'm about to let go of my daughter. And there's a lot of fear that we deal with, and the list can go on and on. There was a survey that they did, and they said that the number one fear ever is public speaking. The number one fear is public speaking. I can understand that. But the second fear in the survey was death. And so the first fear is public speaking. The second fear is death. That is amazing to me that people are so fearful of talking in front of people that they would prefer death. And that means that the average person at a funeral is more comfortable lying in a casket than giving the eulogy. But we can let fear shape our lives. And like Walter Mitty, we can allow fear to keep us from doing the things that we were being asked to do or called to do by God. Fear holds you captive. And there's so much fear in the news. When we watch the news, we see terrorists attack. We see things happening in Paris. We see things happening all the time. I caught myself the other day. I was in HEB, and when I walked into HEB, I was like, okay, there's an exit here. There's an exit here. And I caught myself like planning to escape HEB. I'm like, man, you got to watch things now. And so if we allow, the fear is just, it's palpable. And we watch so much news, and fear just kind of drives people and it causes us to make decisions. We make so many decisions based off of fear. And sometimes we don't make decisions because there's so much fear in our life. And I want to tell you today that fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts. It doesn't have to fill our hearts. And so there's this scene that is one of my, it's actually the trailer to Walter Mitty, but it's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Walter Mitty is, you know, you saw him, he's just this really fearful guy, but it comes to a point where he's lost this really important photograph. It's the very last, it was supposed to be the cover, the very last cover of Life magazine. He lost it. He's looked everywhere for it, and he's so fearful, he's about to lose his job, other people are going to lose their jobs. And there comes a point where he looks over at his desk, and there's a photo of Sean O'Connell. He's this famous photographer, this adventurous photographer. Sean O'Connell was actually played by Sean Penn. And Sean Penn's like this buff, tan, just big, tough photographer, adventurer, jumps into volcanoes. And so this scene that I'm about to show you, it's Walter Mitty sitting there in fear. And he knows that he needs to go out and step out in faith and go find this photograph. And what is so cool is this photo is a picture of Sean O'Connell. And Sean O'Connell is looking at Walter Mitty and he says, come on, step out. Step out of the boat. Check out this clip.
What is it you call it when he goes into one of his little places?
Oh, zoned out.
You do that now and then. What's the matter?
I lost the picture.
I like mysteries.
You should
go. Crack the case.
You were Sean's partner. He finished his work.
About courage and going into the unknown.
Hey man, where are you now?
Himalayas. I'm going to keep this short. I have to make oxygen choices.
Such a great movie, such a great movie. And because this is a sermon, and we are in a church, and I don't want to hear on Monday, Pastor Will only preached about a movie. He didn't say anything about Jesus. He didn't say anything about the Bible. We're going to turn to the Bible right now and talk about Peter. Peter was a character in the Bible that stepped out of the boat. He stepped out in faith. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14 and 22, I want to read you some scripture here. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Awesome. I got to say something. Normally when this passage is preached, they give Peter a really hard time. Lots of pastors, they'll say, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he sunk in the water. And you know, you got to have faith. Keep your eyes off of the waves and the wind. I want to say something. Peter walked on water. That's amazing. Jesus walked on water and Peter walked on water. That is amazing. I just got to say, that's amazing. But here's the thing. 11 of the disciples stayed in the boat. 11 of them stayed in the boat. They were terrified, huddled up in the boat. They stayed in the boat. And Peter said, "Lord, if that is you, tell me to come to you. If that is you, tell me to come out onto the water." And he did. He stepped out. He had to say, "Fear, hold on a second, fear. If that's you, Jesus, tell me to come out." And I want to say this, faith in Jesus is the reverse gear of fear. When you trust Jesus, you reverse from fear. And when you reverse from fear, amazing things happen. And so I want to talk about trusting Jesus. And I also want to talk about the boat a little bit. I want to talk about the boat because remember, there was 11 disciples who stayed in the boat. And the thing about fear is fear can make us comfortable in the boat. And the boat wasn't a real good situation. You got to realize that the wind and the rain and the waves were washing into this boat. This was a scary place to be. This was not a good place to be. But they chose to stay in the boat. And so what fear does, it makes us comfortable in a bad situation. Fear can make you comfortable in a situation that you shouldn't be in. Fear can make you stay when you should go. Fear can paralyze you and keep you held hostage when God is asking you to come on out. And so we can say to ourselves, it's just easier in the boat. I don't know what's going to happen if I step out of the boat. There's a storm out there. The boat, at least the boat feels solid, sort of feels solid. I'm sloshing around. The water's kind of rising up around my legs. I don't know how long this boat's going to be here, but it's not out there. And so the boat may not be a good situation. The boat could be a horrendous situation, but fear is keeping you in the boat. And I don't know what your boat is today, because everyone here is in some kind of a boat. We're all at different walks in life, but your boat might be an addiction. Your boat might be an addiction and something that you've been addicted to for a whole long time, but fear is saying, I cannot live without this substance. I can't function without this substance. And so fear keeps you in the boat. Fear keeps you from stepping out and trusting Jesus and keeps you locked in chains in that addiction. Fear can keep you in the boat. Your boat might be an abusive relationship, a relationship where you're looking to a person to fulfill you and satisfy you, but it's a bad relationship. And because you don't think you can do any better, you're fearful that nobody's going to love me. You're fearful that I may not find anybody else. You're fearful. So fear keeps you in a bad place. And fear can hold you in a bad place when you should be stepping out of the boat. Your boat might be a dead-end job. You may have been in this dead-end job for a long, long time, but you don't think you can do any better because you're too old or too young, or you're not educated, or you don't have this, or you don't have that, and fear is keeping you in the boat. And God is saying, come on out. I've got something bigger and better for you. I've got something for you. But fear can hold you hostage and keep you in a sinking boat. Your boat might be a weak prayer life or a weak walk with God, and God is saying, come out of that boat. Why don't you trust me? Why don't you pray? Why don't you come to know me? Step out of that boat. I have got so much for you. I don't know what your boat is today, but you know what your boat is. You're thinking about it right now. About 5 years ago, I was in a boat. I was the vice president of an IT company. I was making an incredible amount of money. It was, on the surface, it looked like an amazing job. It looked great. It was a dream job. But I was working like 75 hours a week. I got up early before the kids were awake, and I'd come home after the kids were asleep day after day after day. But it was the American dream. We had nice cars, and we had all these things. But God was saying, Will, I want you to step out of the boat. Come out onto the water where I am. But I said, God, look at the wind, and look at the rain, and I got four kids. And look how tiny the paychecks are. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to live? And God said, come, step out of the boat. And so you know what your boat is. You know what it is. And God is asking you to step out, to trust him, to believe him. And here's the thing about fear. Fear prevents you from moving forward. It keeps you stagnant. It keeps you in place. You're treading water when you allow fear to hold you. And here's the other thing about fear. Fear creates a room to doubt God. Fear even causes you to have amnesia. God may have brought you out of just incredible things. God may have healed your life and done miraculous things for you financially and just done... You may have had blessing after blessing after blessing, but when a storm comes, all of a sudden we're terrified, and we're looking at the wind, and we're looking at the rain, and we're saying, God, don't you care? We start to question the goodness of God. And I want to tell you about another story here where the disciples were in the boat, and they were, again, incredibly fearful and terrified. Mark 4 and 35 says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowd behind. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping. Did y'all catch that? Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown? And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Silence. Another translation, he says, Shut up. He just told it to shut up. And it stopped. It was like, it couldn't help but obey the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, Shut up, and it just went, just like that, still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And these disciples, they had walked with Jesus. They had lived with Jesus. They saw him heal person after person after person. They were with him when he fed 5,000 people. Hungry people with just two fish and five loaves of bread. Miracle after miracle. They saw him calm the storm. And they saw him just speak to creation and it stopped. And yet, in their storm, they said, don't you care? And so fear causes us to question his goodness. It causes us to doubt that he is God. And what's funny is after... after the disciples saw him calm the storm, they all said they worship him, and they said, "You really are God. You really are. Like, who? You're who you say you are." And it's funny is sometimes in our storm we question, "God, are you good? Are you asleep? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see what I'm dealing with? Do you care?" And so sometimes we have trouble recognizing Jesus in our storms. It's comical. We have this way, I don't know about you, but humans are really, really good at making a bad situation a bigger, horrible, horrendous situation. Do you know somebody that thinks the very worst thing can happen, the worst scenario? Like if something just doesn't go right, "Oh my goodness, this is going to happen." And they start building up this giant thing and it turns into this monster. Well, I want to say the disciples were so fearful in this boat that when Jesus was walking out to them on the water, their worst fear, "It's a ghost!" And here is Jesus, the Savior of the world, walking on the water, coming to help them, and they go, "It's a ghost!" And we have this ability to take a situation and begin to glorify that situation. We have this ability to look at the storm and say, "Wow, this is a huge storm. This is a big storm. Look at the lightning. Look at the waves. Look at the rain. It's so big." And we glorify that storm. We begin to talk that storm up and say how big that storm is instead of telling that storm how big our God is. Instead of telling that storm, "Wait a minute, you haven't met Jesus. Jesus can still the waves. Jesus can say, shut up, and it stops." And so we have this ability to question God in our storms. And one of the things that Jesus did I love is he rebuked the storm, and then he rebuked his disciples. He calmed the storm, he calmed the disciples, and he asked them two questions. "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? I'm here with you. I'm on the boat with you. You've seen what I can do. Why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith?" No faith. And so what happens when we get fearful? Fear is a perceived loss of control. Do we have any control freaks in the house? Probably a spouse could recognize whether or not it's a... But we, any control freaks, they just have to be in control. We as humans, sometimes we have to have everything in its place. We want our job to be so. We want our house to be so. We want everything to be all right. We want our kids in order. We want everything in its place. And when something gets out of alignment, if something breaks, we have this fear that we're losing control. Have you ever driven in a car with somebody who is just wants to be in control? Okay, slow down. Okay, there's a car pulling out over there. Stop. And I'm like, do you want to drive? I will let you drive. But fear is this perceived loss of control. And I want to say something to us. It would amaze us how little we actually control in our life. It is incredibly big that we sometimes think we can control so much, but we can control so little. So little. And I want to say this to you. If you are the Lord of your own life, if Jesus isn't on the throne of your life, if you're the Lord of your own life and you're in charge and you're in control, you do have a lot to fear. Because guess what? You will meet somebody by the name of Murphy. Murphy will come and visit you. We have had 5 leaks in our house in 2 years. And I'm not talking like, oh, there's a little drippy faucet. I'm talking about rivers of water flowing through our home. 5 different times. One time we came home from Disney World and we had a pool in our house. Murphy comes in. And so here's the deal, folks. We're not in control. We can control very little. And if you're on the throne of your life, you've got a lot to fear because you can't control anything. And here's the deal. If you are the provider in your life, if God's not the provider, but if you're the provider, you have a lot to fear because when you're the provider, it's all up to you. It's about your knowledge. It's about your skill. It's about your ability to earn money. It's about your, because it's all about you. And it's all your money, you're never going to be a generous person. You're never going to be able to let anything go, and here's why, because you're afraid. Because of fear, you can't let anything go. That is the thing that fear does. Fear causes us to be selfish, stingy, and fearful. And here's the other thing, if you've got fear in your life, you're never going to love like Jesus wants you to love. Because you'll never open your heart. Because you're afraid of getting hurt, and you may have been hurt. But if you don't let Jesus come in and heal your life and fill your heart with love, you're going to be closed off to everybody. You won't let anybody in, and fear will ruin all of your relationships. You'll never let anybody in. That's what fear does. And fear keeps us from moving forward. It holds us captive. And here's the deal about fear. Our fears reveal what we care about the most. When the thing that we care about the most is threatened, we get incredibly fearful. If your whole life is wrapped up in your job or your career, if anything threatens that, because that's your life, because that's everything, you're terrified when anything happens or you feel threatened. But the thing is, fear is misplaced worship. Fear is misplaced worship. And anything that we worship, we tend to make big in our life. We tend to give it weight or give it glory. And sometimes we glory in the storm. We glorify the storm. We glorify the fears in our life instead of giving glory and weight to Jesus. But what if we stop being held captive by fear? What if you allowed Jesus to come into your heart and to take fear out of your life? I've got a story that I want to share with you. When I was 9 years old, my parents took me to a place called Blue Hole in Wimberley. Anybody ever been there? It's amazing. It's a beautiful place. But they've got these huge trees that are over the water. And when I was there, I was 9 years old, and I saw these bigger kids, they would climb up to the top of these trees and jump out of the trees into the water. And it was a long drop. And I said, that is so cool. I want to do that. And so I'm 9 years old. And y'all, I wasn't a regular 9 year old. I was like 2 inches tall. I was a little tiny 9 year old boy. Very, very small. So I managed to somehow climb to the top of this tree. And I climbed all the way up without looking down. But when I got to the top of the tree and I looked down, and it was a mile, I said, I ain't doing this. And so all these kids, these bigger kids, were climbing up and jumping, and I was just staying there holding on as tight as I could at the top of this tree. And y'all think I'm exaggerating, but I was up there the entire day. I stayed up in that tree the entire day. I actually watched the sun go down. At one point, my dad yelled up to me, son, are you going to come down from dinner? I go, Dad, I can't. Just throw it up to me. I'm going to live up here. And so I stayed up there and stayed up there and stayed up there. And at one point, I got so tired of just being up in that tree that I looked down and I go, oh, no, no, no. And I remember climbing out to the edge and just standing there and just standing there and just standing there. And you thought I jumped. I didn't jump. I stayed there and stayed there. And then it finally came to me. It's like, I cannot stay up here for the rest of my life. I tried to climb down, and I couldn't climb down. And so I said, okay, I'm going to starve to death unless I jump. And so I closed my eyes, and I stepped out. And I remember hearing the wind just come past my face, and I wasn't seeing anything. I closed my eyes, and I was clenched up, and it felt like I fell for 5 minutes. I finally hit the water, and I went all the way to the bottom of the river, and my feet hit the bottom, and I kicked off. And when I came out of the water, I was like, yeah, that was awesome. Yes. I'd been up there for 7 hours. 7 hours of my life held captive by fear. And so you thought that I would just get up and go eat. I climbed back up that tree and I jumped again. I jumped again. Y'all. And And since that day, I've been an adrenaline junkie. I jump out of all kinds of things. I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane at 13,000 feet. Amazing. And once you jump out of an airplane, roller coasters are nothing. They're nothing. But fear holds us, just like it held me in that tree. It held me there for so, so long. And I don't know what the fear in your life is holding you. You probably, if you're in the boat, you probably feel stuck. And fear wants to keep you there. And the thing about fear is fear doesn't want to let you go, but you have to step out. You have to step out. And the thing about Jesus, the truth about Jesus, is that he helps us overcome fear. Peter, he stepped out of that boat. It was terrifying, but he stepped out of that boat. And God said, come out onto the water, because that's where I am. And Peter, he said, Peter, I want you to do, after you've stepped out of the boat, I now want you to preach to thousands on the day of Pentecost. He's saying, come on out, Peter, step out. I've got more for you. And I don't know what the fear you're facing is, but I want you to know that Jesus overcame fear. Jesus can overcome any fear in your life. And here is why that Jesus helps us overcome fear. It's a perfect verse. 1 John 4:18 says this: there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And I want to tell you this, that Jesus loves you perfectly. As unperfect as you are, as the many, many times that you have failed him, the many, many times that you didn't step out of the boat, that you didn't come when he asked you, he still loves you perfectly. And the Bible says that no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. And he loves us perfectly. He loves us when we are unlovable. And what happens to us is when that love starts to creep into our heart, it begins to change us from the inside. And we begin to believe that, yes, you are God. Yes, you are bigger than the storm. Yes, you love me even when I fail, and that makes me, it motivates me to keep stepping out. Jesus loves you perfectly. He loves you so much that he wants to conquer the fear in your life. But he wants you to look to him. He doesn't want you to look at the waves. He doesn't want you to look at the storm. And what is beautiful about this verse of scripture is that Jesus wasn't in the storm. He was on top of the storm. He walked over the storm. The storm didn't affect Jesus. And he wants you to step out. And it might look scary. It might look terrifying. But he is over that storm. That means he's bigger than the storm in your life. He's bigger than your fears. He's bigger than everything. So I have a question for you. Do you live a fear-filled life? What has fear kept from you? What has fear robbed from you? Do you feel stuck? Jesus is asking you to come out onto the water. He's looking and saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Why are you fearful? Come on, I am bigger than this storm. I am bigger than the waves. I'm bigger than your situation. Why don't you trust me? And here's the deal. When you step out of the boat, you might sink. When you step out in faith, sometimes we sink, but Jesus is there. You might sink. And I want to say this, that if you stay in the boat, there's a 100% chance you will not walk on water. If you stay in the boat, you will not walk on water. The boat is comfortable, but it's a bad situation. And he wants you to step out of the boat. Why? Because when you go where Jesus is, that's where healing is. When you go where Jesus is, that's where freedom is. When you step out onto the water, that's where life is. If you stay in the boat, you're just going to stay in the boat and stay stagnant. Jesus is out there on the water, and he wants you to come on out, to trust him, to believe that he's bigger and he's mighty. Do you trust him today? Do you trust him? Would you stand with me this morning? Joshua 1 and 9 says this, and I want to leave you with this scripture. This is my command. This is from the Lord. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you. What is he asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? Step out. Do it. Would you close your eyes with me? God, we come to you. We come to you, and we're going to take our eyes off of this storm. We're going to take our eyes off of the boat or the comfort of the boat. We're going to stop looking at all of the things that are keeping us from stepping out. Lord, we're going to trust you. Lord, you're bigger than our hearts. You're bigger than our fear. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. You've conquered fear itself. We believe you, God. And Lord, we want to go where you go. We're tired of being held hostage by fear. We are tired of staying in the same place and not moving forward. But we're going to go where you go. We're going to look to you. We're going to keep our eyes on you. Lead us and guide us, God. Strengthen us. Help us to trust you more than we've ever trusted you before. You are mighty, and we love you. And we know that your love is perfect, and it drives out the fear in our life. We may be fearful, but when we trust you, we will fear less and less and less, and we will soon become fearless. We thank you, God, for your promises. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that you're bigger than us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give God some praise this morning? Yeah. Amen. 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 God is so good. God is so good. I'm going to dismiss you shortly, but if you would just be seated very quickly. We want you to know that this is a place where you can find prayer. This is a place where we want to help you get connected to people. You need somebody in the boat with you that's going to help you step out. And so if you have a prayer request today, we want you to know that at the end of service, we're going to have pastors and leaders up here that are going to pray for you. They want to pray and help you step out of the boat. But we would also love that you would write your prayer request down on that card in the seat back in front of you. We want you to know that we pray over these cards. We have pastors and staff that lift these prayer requests and needs up over and over again. We even have prayer teams that come in and pray over these. If you flip that card over, we ask for some information, and here's why we want your information. We want to help you get connected to what God is doing here at Promised Land. We know that there are tough situations in life, and if we can help you get connected to Promised Land, and if we can help you get connected to others here at Promised Land, we know that you're going to be okay. And so we would love for you to fill out that information, and in just a moment, our ushers are going to come up to take up an offering, and you can just drop those prayer requests and drop your information in that basket. But let's go ahead and have our ushers come up now. And we're going to continue our worship in our giving. And I just want to brag on God for just a little bit. We had an amazing VBS here at Promised Land. Tons and tons of kids came to hear about Jesus. I had neighbor boys when I told them that, hey, we're going to have Jedi training at our VBS. I had a full Suburban full of kids from the neighborhood, and they came, and they heard about Jesus. And I want you to know, because of your giving, we were able to put this on for our community. We had Darth Vader there. Check out Darth Vader's moves here, folks. That is awesome. That's our very own Abe Longoria dressed up and Vader. There's amazing things in life, and that is one of the amazing things in life, when you see Darth Vader with some sweet moves. But I want to say this. I want to say thank you to those that have given. And it's because you trust God. It's because you're not the provider in your life, but you allow God to provide for you, that you can be generous. And because you were generous, we were able to give out over 575 meals the week of VBS. You did that. You did that. And so many kids heard about Jesus because of your generosity. And so I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving. There's a number of different ways that you can give. They're all up on the screen, but let's pray over our offering right now. Thank you, God, that you are the provider, that we don't have to be in control. God, that you provide for us and you give us things that we don't even know we need. You know what's going to happen before it even does, and you always are so faithful. Thank you, God, for giving to us today. And Lord, so we give back. We give back, Lord. And we pray over this offering that you would bless it, that you would multiply it, that you would let it go out and change lives and change hearts in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Check out these announcement videos while they're taking up the offering.
This one is for you. We're having a women's worship night here in St. Marcus in the Student Center, July 19th. Grab a friend and just learn God's grace. We definitely will have childcare provided, so don't feel discouraged not to come. Again, 7 p.m., so come on by.
A lot of what happens here at Promised Land is not just what you see on Sunday morning or on stage. There's a lot of volunteers that work behind the scenes, in hospitality, in our children's ministry, and in production. If you like the technical side of production, or you want to get behind a camera or a computer, we want you to join us for a production open house on July 13th from 6 to 8. It's a great opportunity for you to see how Promised Land ticks and to get involved.
Awesome. Would you stand with me? I just want to pray over you before we dismiss you. God, we go out this week and we're going to trust you. We're going to step out of some situations and step out of boats and walk out on the water where you are. I pray, God, that you lead us and guide us, that you give us courage in our heart, not courage in ourselves, but courage in you and in your word as we step out into the storms of life, trusting and believing that you are bigger. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts today, and we give you all of the glory. Amen, amen. Let's give God some praise this morning. Yeah. All right. We want you to know that we're going to have some pastors and staff down here that want to pray with you if you need some further prayer. But if you need to go, go in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you again next week. Amen.
Gonna let me go. Take me out into your waters. Let's get lost at sea. I feel the